Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
I'm late for my own date here. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so good to be with you this morning. It's my hope that as we gather for worship, that this service is a blessing to you as we gather in this space. I hope that as we gather, we're able to grow in our understanding and our love and our worship of God this morning. And I hope that as we gather, something that we say or pray or sing sort of helps carry you throughout this week. As you move through your week, we hope that you're able to take and apply something that you've experienced in this space. As we move into fall, I pray that the beginning of flannel shirts and hooded sweatshirts is going well for you. It seems like we went from like 95 degrees to like 50. Yeah, exactly. It was unbelievable. But thank God, I enjoy this weather. I appreciate this weather. And who would have thought that Michigan and Michigan State would start 3-0? Amen? Amen. What a loaded, exciting fall. I honestly thought it was equally probable that they'd both be 0-3. I mean, it just was looking like that in the beginning of the year. But as we start, as we continue in this sermon series, we're talking about the I am statements of Jesus, the things that Jesus said that he is in the Gospel of John. There are seven statements that Jesus makes. And this morning, we're talking about when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We're examining what it means to be light, to be that hope, to be that beacon of hope in the midst of the darkness. And as we worship God together, I pray that you would reflect on what it means that Jesus himself says that he is the light of the world, and then what it means when he says also that we are all the light of the world as well. As we worship together this day, I pray God's blessing upon all of us. And we're going to do a special announcement for mission recipients from UMW. We're going to move that until a little bit later on in the service as we're still waiting for one of our recipients to arrive. With that, I encourage you, if you have a moment, to take time to fill out the connection cards in the pew backs in front of you. And if anybody in the congregation today has anything that we can be praying for you about, there are prayer cards also in the pew backs in front of you. And if you wouldn't mind taking a moment and filling that out, we would love and be honored to be praying for whatever matters there are on your heart. With that, I encourage you to take this opportunity to stand and rise and allow us to worship God together this day. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, and please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, be with us in worship today. Be in our song, be in our words, and be in our prayers. Fill us with your light so that we can be light to the world around us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Precious blood has left me forgiven, pure like the whitest of snow, powerful to make sin and shame retreat. This covenant is making me whole, so I will rise and lift my head, for by his mercy my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. Purify my heart in your presence. Teach me to discover the joy of holiness that forms as you draw me close. In you what was lost is restored. So I will rise and lift my head, for by his mercy my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. So I will rise and lift my head, for by his mercy, my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean.
And the Bible readings this morning are from the books of John and Matthew. In John chapter 8, again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And on in Matthew, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sue, for reading our scripture this morning. At this time, I'd like to invite forward Marcia Eichel, who will be making a special presentation on behalf of the United Methodist Women.
First, I'd like to thank the church for inviting us to give this award here. It's something that we do annually, and it's called a Special Mission Recognition Award, which is given to honor members and non-members of the UMW who have dedicated their time and effort and service, and it's just very important that we recognize these. And there are three people this morning, and I should tell you, they're all men. And we are just so pleased to recognize all the efforts and what they have done to further us. I'd like to introduce Gary Tobel and Brian Everett.
It's my honor this morning to be able to present to this award to Brian Everett, a close friend of mine that I've known for many years. He grew up in this church. He deserves this because all the things he's done for the church in the past, and I'm sure in the future. We've been on many mission trips together with the men's group down to ASP. I know at least 10 we've been on, and now he leads the ASP group for the men. We've been to Rio Bravo, where he teaches welding for the individual people there. He's taught. He made a bed frame for the people. He's an excellent welder. He did a youth group counselor in the 90s. He was on the building committee and the trustees committee. He's going on the trustees committee next year again. He's previously on the lay leadership committee, and he's on nominations. And he's a delegate to the annual conference the last 5 years. Brian, I present this award to you.
And I'd like to introduce Matt Eichel and Pauline Schaefer. And I should mention that Pauline nominated Matt. I love him dearly. He is my son.
Matt, my guess is you don't know why you're up here.
Nope.
When I called him and told him he had to be in church today, and I wasn't going to tell him why, and I said it has nothing to do with your mother. So that is all he knew. He had to show up. In an organization like United Methodist Women, the Brighton Whitmore Lake unit comprises around 130 women, and we are always welcoming new members at any time. One of the very vital, important pieces is communication, particularly with that many women in, you know, all over. And I don't know for how many years, but Matt has provided us with constant contact use. And that has been invaluable as far as reaching not only our particular congregation, but it does go out to other members of our district and conference. So, Matt, thank you. We appreciate it.
That was the closest I've been to a kiss in a long time. That's great. And our third recipient is Bill Reif, and I'd like to introduce Barb Terry to come up.
As you know, this award is to honor those who have dedicated time and effort in service, and so it was easy to nominate Bill Reif. Here's the short list of what this outstanding gentleman has done. He is Johnny on the spot to set up for prayers and squares on Sundays and or early Monday mornings. When we don't have food on hand for our 10:30 snack, guess who goes out to the grocery store for us? Because that snack is important. He's the chauffeur for his wife to Joanne Fabrics and any and all quilt and fabric stores within a 100-mile radius.
Or more.
And more. Internationally. Yeah. And at home, he's a big help to Carol because she often has quilt-related projects going on at home. Of course, there, his biggest responsibility is probably just staying out of her way. But for this, for these reasons and many more, we want to thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
And this concludes our awards for this year, and we look forward to nominations for next year. Thank you so much.
A huge thanks, really, to everybody who serves in our church, and really especially to our three award winners for all that you've done and will continue to do in our church. Thank you. Your church is so grateful for your unwavering support in all of the ways that you continue to serve our church. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer and the source of light. Amen. Well, this last summer, Pastor Lindsay and I had an opportunity to take our kids to a spot that I was really excited to go. Not everybody is excited to go to this space, but we had the opportunity to go down to Kentucky. And there's really, I mean, there are probably many things in Kentucky that are enjoyable, but the thing that stands out to me the most is Mammoth Cave. This interconnected network of caves that are hundreds of miles long underground, they're places where folks who are claustrophobic, I mean, you know, it's not a good spot if you're claustrophobic, but our kids were excited about caves because they wanted to see bats and they wanted to see crickets with really long antennae. They wanted to see all kinds of exciting stalactites, stalagmites. And the crazy thing is, I told them, I made the mistake of telling them that there was probably one part that they weren't going to like so much. And that is, at the end of the tour, they get to a point inside the cave where they flip off the lights and you're in complete and total darkness. That is, unless the person next to you has an iPhone or Apple Watch, that they have absolutely no control over themselves and they turn it on. Nevertheless, we go deep down into the cave. We're going through a tour. It's this beautiful guided tour. We're going down a path. There's handrails and everything. We see all the beautiful formations that have taken, according to the National Park Ranger, 10 million years to form. And here we are standing with our kids, and the moment comes, right? We're going to turn off the lights. Is anybody too scared for this? And of course, like, I'm looking at my kids, and my son Joshua is holding my hand, and he's, like, trembling. And I'm like, oh, here's the moment of truth, right? And I remembered when I was a kid, we went there close to 30 years ago to Mammoth Cave, and we were enjoying the beautiful sights, and I remember them turning off the lights and just feeling like they told us to put our hands right in front of our face to see if we could see our own hands. And of course, in this particular part of the cave, you couldn't see anything at all. So sure enough, the park rangers turn off the lights, and all I hear is my son say, "Dad, this is cool." And I was like, yes, we survived this moment. I was afraid he was going to go like running to the gate and I'd have to find him in pitch darkness. But nevertheless, that feeling of being in complete darkness is humbling, right? I'm fine if the park ranger says, "We're going to turn off the lights," and they do it for a moment and then the lights come back on. But I do find myself wondering, like, What about a power failure? You know, like, what if this is more than just a second? What if they blow a fuse? What if something goes wrong and we're standing there in a cave in complete darkness, miles and miles away from where we entered the cave because we took one of the tours there? Most of us are comfortable in darkness for a moment. I mean, maybe you have memories of the tornado siren going off as a kid and running down into a basement, or if you're like me, that means you go out onto your back deck and are like, "Where is the storm? I can't see it," you know? But in Michigan, you know, many of us have basements and we go downstairs and perhaps all you have is a little candle or a flashlight to sort of get yourself through the night. Some of us have this sort of trepidation of being in situations long-term without any light in our midst. Light has some fascinating properties. You're probably aware that it's the fastest traveling thing that we're aware of in the universe. It goes 186,000 miles a second, which is probably enough to get a ticket in any jurisdiction. It moves so fast that it can travel 7 times around the Earth's circumference in a single second. It's a miraculous substance that provides us so often with the warmth and the energy that we experience here in the world. Without light, everything that we know, life itself, would cease to exist. It's all about the light that the sun sends to the earth and plants absorb, which many plant-eating animals eat, and then we sometimes, in some cases, eat those animals. And without that, nothing would be able to live here on this planet. The warmth that we enjoy, sunsets that we take in, would cease to exist. Another fascinating thing about light is inside our eyes, there are rods and cones. We have 3 different kinds of cones in our eyes. We can see 3 different colors. It's why TVs have 3 different colors inside the LEDs. There's blue, there's green, and there's red. But some women, speaking of United Methodist women, it's mostly women that have this unique virtue. Some women have a 4th cone in their eyes, which allows them to see potentially up to 100 million more colors than the average human being. Dogs, when they see a rainbow, only see 3 colors because they only have 2 cones in their eyes to be able to see. Their rainbow starts with blue, goes to green, and then a little bit of yellow, but that's it. Can you imagine what it would be like to look up at a rainbow and be cheated out of your purples and reds on either side of the rainbow? When Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "I am the light of the world," it's not only a profound theological statement, but if you go all the way back to Genesis and think about God creating light and separating it from the darkness, in the midst of creation, this incredible act of making things light up that were dark in the beginning, at the beginning of Genesis, you hear this story of creation and light coming forth out of the darkness, and Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Not only a theological statement, but a statement of unity, Trinitarian theology, of being at one with God when God created the heavens and the earth and separated light from darkness and created day and night. Most of us know what it's like to walk in darkness, whether you're in a cave or if you're just going through life and you feel like the entire universe is sort of closing in on you and you're experiencing some form, shape, or fashion of darkness in your life. And Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "I am the light of the world." Essentially, what he was saying is if you follow me, you will find your path to light. If you are able to walk in my footsteps, you will find your way to the light. I am the source of beauty and joy and warmth and comfort and hope. I'm here to tell you that Scripture like this has been used poorly in the past. There are some times in our life that we have looked far too often at this metaphor of light and darkness and used it to oppress our brothers and sisters in our world today. Some people have used this scripture passage and others in the New and Old Testament that talk about light being good and darkness being bad as a source and inspiration for racial prejudice. I'm here to tell you, if you're in that camp or know folks that are, that believe that the lighter one's skin color is, the better off they are, and the darker one's skin color is, the worse off they are, then we need to help you with that metaphor. I choose to think about light as the beautiful source of sunrises and sunsets, the warmth and joy that comes from the sun. I don't believe it's a value statement about the color of one's skin or how one race was created in a different way than another. But what I do choose to believe is that when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," what he's saying is, "I am the source of joy and comfort and hope and beauty." And I'm here to tell you that doesn't end Jesus' challenge about being the light of the world. You heard Sue read the scripture out of Matthew's gospel where Jesus said, "You are also the light of the world. You are called to go out into the world in spaces where there may be darkness or inequality or injustice and be a source of comfort and healing and hope as well." At the end of the day, when Jesus walked into the world as the light of the world, and I think about Christmas Eve when I think about Jesus entering in as the star showed those who were looking for Jesus' birth the way to go to find the way to the manger, and I think about that light, that incarnation of Christ, him being the source of hope that changed everything for the early people of faith. And we hold on to that hope in this day. We hold on to it while forest fires are burning on the West Coast and while hurricanes are coming up through the Gulf, and we hold on to that hope even in the midst of our deep division in our world and in our country today. Jesus says to the church, you're supposed to be like a city on a hill, a beacon of light so that people can find their way if they're lost. And we try to do that. Ultimately, I hope our actions through the missions of our church are a testimony to what God is doing in our life. I hope that people look at this church here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake and say, "I can see some light and hope and faith in the people who gather here on a weekly basis on Sunday mornings." I hope through your actions and through your life, sometimes you're the only gospel that people will ever read. So your smiles, so your acts of giving and selflessness, the words that you share, the way that you drive, for those of you who are wearing having those cross and flame bumper stickers on the back of your vehicle, I hope that people read the gospel of your life and find hope and joy and comfort and strength in all of you as well. Not to say you're a perfect testimony, not to say that you get everything right, not to say that you've never made any mistakes, but to say that they can see Christ or Christ's love through you is what it means when Jesus encourages all to be light for the world. So I want to challenge you to think about how you could be light in the midst of the darkness of our world today. It's not hard to find darkness, unfortunately. Sadly, every time I sit down to take in 30 minutes of news, I almost feel overwhelmed. Can anybody else relate to that? It almost feels like I'm back in Mammoth Cave for a moment. And I'm sort of like, is somebody going to turn the light on again? And then I oftentimes have this moment and I realize that the light switch is in my hands. That in many ways, it's my responsibility to be the park ranger, to flip on the light for everybody else who's sitting in the cave. Maybe you do that by sending out constant contact emails to let everyone know what's going on in the church. Maybe you do that by leading mission trips and men's ASP trips. Maybe you do that by driving hundreds of miles to go get quilt material for our group that quilts on Monday mornings, prayers and squares. There are lots of ways to show the light. Maybe you do that by sending an email letting folks know in our community that you're praying for them who are making difficult decisions. I just wrote a letter to somebody in our church who's serving on the school board in our community. Not only on the school board, but as a chairperson of that board, and is making all kinds of decisions that I happen to know are not fun right now. I guess what I'm here to say is this. In the midst of all of the darkness in our world, I hope that you can find a way to be the light. It doesn't take much. This church is amazing at writing people cards. And I'm here to tell you there are days that those cards that Pastor Lindsay and I have received, and that's all I can testify to, but I've also seen folks writing cards to other folks. I can't tell you how much it means to know that somebody's thinking about you on a hard day. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like cards come at the moment that you need them the most. And it just lifts your spirit. I'm thinking about folks in our community that feel left out right now. People who have lost jobs. There are folks in our church who in this last year have been diagnosed with cancer. And I know that there are folks who are struggling with their home security, whether or not they can pay their mortgage and are worried about either being evicted because they're not able to pay rent or they've had significant catastrophes, flooding in their homes throughout this summer as we've had so much rain. And I think about folks in our church that need help, that need to see the light. And I know that there are many more, and not only in Brighton, but also in Whitmore Lake, that need to see that light as well. So Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And my encouragement to you is as you're standing there with the light switch in your hands, to have the courage to flip it so that everyone else standing in the cave can see the beauty that God created in this world. The woman who has four cones in her eye, she was interviewed by a number of different media outlets, CNN, BBC, Radiolab, one of my favorite podcasts, interviewed her and had a great conversation about what she sees. And if she was looking at any spot inside this room, what she would see is rainbows in almost every brick. Why? Because she's able to pick up on light that none of the rest of us are able to see. Which to me is a reminder that God creates beautiful images and pictures even beyond our comprehension. There is so much good and beauty in the world, some of which we can see, and some of it is even beyond our understanding. So what did she become? She became a painter, and she paints images of tree branches, and they're not normal brown tree branches. The trees that she paints are complete rainbows because that's what she sees in everything. And my hope is that when you go out into the world and you see somebody whose life is filled with darkness, that instead of seeing them in their moment of darkness, I hope that you can see an entire spectrum of light and potential within them. So that as you help them paint the story of their lives, it comes alive in the full color that God created, infrared and ultraviolet. May we see the full spectrum and beauty and creation all around us. Let there be light. Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the beauty in our world all around us, the things that we can see and the things that we can't see. And we pray in the midst of the darkness of our own lives, whatever that might be, that we may be able to see even a glimmer of light that drives out that darkness, that we might be able to find hope and healing and redemption and joy and beauty in the world all around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a joy it is to be with you this morning and think about the Prayers and Squares group and the generous gift they give to our congregation and we share with the community. This morning we have two prayer quilts, Steve and Ron. We are going to bless them. So if you would join me in a moment of prayer for Steve and Ron as we bless these prayer quilts. Lord, we ask you to bless this quilt so that it may bring love and joy and comfort and healing to Steve and to Ron. May it be a symbol of our love and our prayers and that it bring them through the current situations that they find themselves. We ask this in your name. Amen. We're going to continue in a time of prayer. And I thank you, John, for your message this morning. It really brings hope to remind us that we hold the light switch. That's amazing. In a world full of darkness and daily headlines that challenge even my optimistic nature, I invite you into a time of prayer. Jesus promises the light of life as we follow him on the brightest and our darkest days. Will you pray with me? Awesome and loving God, we have much to be grateful for today. We thank you and praise you for the beautiful sunshine we've been enjoying and the replenishing rain. As the temperatures begin to moderate and we look forward to the dazzling display of fall colors, we pause to take in your glorious creation. The magnificence of that first red leaf, the wonder and awe we feel when your sunshine breaks through the clouds. We turn to you for help and forgiveness as the extremes of a changing climate call us to do better in caring for this world. Renew in us the caretaker role that you have entrusted to us. Lord Jesus, you also showed us how to care for one another, to love one another, and share your light in the world. Sometimes we struggle with this and need your vision of who is our neighbor. We offer prayers and ask your blessings on our neighbors near and far, for those who look like us and those who do not, for those recovering from fires, floods, hurricanes, or other disasters. Grant them your peace and inspire those who bring relief and help. For those suffering from illness, for those healthcare workers and family members who struggle to keep up with the demands on them as they care for the sick, we pray that you would overwhelm them with mercy, with healing, with respite. For those who are struggling with grief, anxiety, loneliness, or fear, wrap them in your holy arms so that they may be comforted and recognize that they are truly a beloved child of God. We each bring our individual praises and concerns. In this still, quiet moment, I invite you to share your heart with God, offering thanks and seeking God's blessings. For each one here or worshiping online, Lord, I offer a blessing and give thanks for your ever presence in our lives. For those who step out bravely to be your hands and feet, we give you thanks. For those who step out timidly, seeking your path nonetheless, we give you thanks. And for those who need an extra boost of courage as they consider your path, we give you thanks, for you are a light to our path. Bless each of us and renew in us the courage to mean these words as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Suzanne, for
leading us in prayer this morning. As we continue our time of worship together, I want to say there's many ways to respond to all of the good things that God has done in our life. And one of them is through the giving of our tithes and offerings. And in a moment, our ushers will be moving through our worship space and inviting you to give generously out of the abundance that God has given to you. If this is your first Sunday with us, your presence is a gift here. And we ask that you have no obligation to give, that you would know that just being here is part of your gift to us. And if this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can continue to thrive and that we can be a blessing to others. Would the ushers please come forward and assist us with this morning's offering?
Lord of light, we bring you praise with our offerings. Bless these financial offerings, as well as our offerings of time and talents shared in ministry to your people. Guide us in using them to bring your light to others. Amen.
Is our light. I thought we should sing This Little Light of Mine, okay? So just have fun with it. Remember your vacation Bible school days.
It is my birthday. Thank you so much for looking at our Well, it's so great to be able to celebrate with all of you here on this Sunday morning. We hope that you have a wonderful Sunday. I just want to share with you a couple of announcements as you head out the door. I hope you take a moment to greet and express our thanks for our three UMW Mission Award recipients after the service. In addition to that, if you didn't see, there are all these beautiful dots on the carpet through here. Don't worry, trustees, they're by design. The dots lead to our Sunday school downstairs. And Allison did an amazing job. Miss Allison did an amazing job of preparing our Sunday school for this morning. If you're interested in having your kids go to Sunday school, it'll be every morning downstairs in the Christian education room. You can just take the elevator downstairs or follow the dots. It was set up beautifully. There were balloons. There were name tags. Everything was all laid out to welcome children back to Sunday school. And my wife, Pastor Lindsay, was in tears because this actually was Lydia's first day, our daughter's first day of Sunday school. So we are so excited about that because of the pandemic and everything going on. She was in the nursery, and now she reminds everybody she's a big girl. So she's going to Sunday school. And so that was really exciting. If you know somebody who would like to be in Sunday school, just know it's every Sunday going forward. And I wanted to let you know also, next week is our church-wide picnic at Whitmore Lake. If you are typically an 11 o'clock attender and you come here, you're going to be missing out. Next week, we're at 11 o'clock at Whitmore Lake campus. There will be food. There will be a tent. There will be games. We're going to have worship right by the waterside. So please come. Invite somebody, maybe a neighbor, a friend, a coworker. We would love to have as many folks as possible at our Whitmore Lake All Church picnic next Sunday at 11 a.m. So if you come here, I'm sorry. It's only 7 minutes, so you can still make it to worship on time at 11 o'clock. There will be a 9:30 service here, and we will be online at 9:30 as well. I think that's all the announcements I have. If you could register for the picnic, please email Susan or go to our website. It's under the events, churchwide picnic, right there on the website. Let us know we're coming so that we can plan food accommodations for you. As you depart from this place, may you all be reminded that you have that light switch in your hands. And the difference between somebody's complete darkness or light may be a matter of you simply turning on the switch so that they can see all of the color and all of the beauty in the world all around them. Go out and flip the light switch for folks in your life that might need to see that light. May you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.